Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Communication. Alright, so I had an idea for this video just to talk about the idea of what do you really live for? I mean, what keeps us in the game? Okay, why do we play the game? Why does even when you're pretty pessimistic about the game, you're still playing the game, you're invested, and you know, it's this whole reward and punishment thing, sort of, and the idea that you know, you will be punished if you don't play, and that we are addicted, and so as long as you're addicted to the heroin, you will go find heroin, and the heroin is this sense of winning, yeah, so kind of like a Las Vegas thing, or something, you know, where you might not be a gambler, but you are somebody who would go to the place where you go play some video game, or you go to just show how you can conquer it, and so we are conquerors. We like challenges, we like being, not that we like it, is that we end up enjoying it. Because of the fact that it initiates that ego system and this sense of rightness in the world, because you did something and you got applause, or you did something and you got money, or, you know, whatever. This, you know, upgrading of status, kind of keeping up with the Joneses. There's lots of kind of trivial metaphors for it, and I don't know if I'm going to do anything better than trivial. But it's like it's a force, okay, pushing you through your life. It gives you this kind of energy to, you know, play. So the Mystic made a video, and so after I had already written down my little keywords of, you know, what do you live for, and what's the force, what's the motivation, and it comes down to the game, and we're just game players. And that's what the brain does anyway. It's always trying to throw something at the world and get something back, in terms of an action and a reaction. And, you know, the play is for some sort of candy or whatever. You know, we're all trying to get more candy on Halloween or something. I mean, you can metaphor it to some kind of childish behavior, because, you know, the behavior is innate, and so yes, it's more visible in a kid, but it's still there in the mature adult, because it doesn't matter what they know, what their knowledge is, they still have to play the game that the brain feeds on. So anyway, the Modern Mystic made a video, and he came down to calling it smugness, and so that would be, you know, it's not a great word, but, you know, you don't want to, the game of smug, you know. I suppose, you know, you could turn it into a dark force, the smug. But that's kind of what, you know, it's sort of true that that's what we're playing for. And I could say, even in making these videos, whether I'm seeking to be acknowledged as making a good point, or whether it's just me, okay, and I would argue that that is a distinction between some people, that it really isn't, it's what they're seeing in the render, the mirror, so to speak. They have their own Dorian Gray kind of portrait of their painting of themselves, and they're really playing for just make my portrait satisfy me, that I've done my thing. I shot well, I killed all these enemies, whether somebody knows I did it or not, it doesn't matter, because I was just doing target practice, essentially. Doesn't matter. The difference between the real thing and practice doesn't make much difference, because all they're really after is, can I do it, or did I do it? They're really not after some social response that says, you win. And I'd say I'm somewhere stuck in between. You know, part of me is self-satisfied that, yeah, I'm doing the best I can, and I did okay, you know, I've made reasonably good arguments, there's some quotes, you know, I can point to and say, that was a good one, that was a good one. You know, so I got something of merit. And, you know, for my own standards. You know, the videos were reasonably watchable. I could watch them anyway. So, yeah. But obviously from a social point of view, yeah, it's not, you know, obviously I'm not hitting the right buttons and I'm not winning. No, but I can always contrive some deeper rationalizations, okay, and just say, oh yeah, I really already won. It's just that it hasn't sunk in yet, you know. So it's like you're killing, these are like killing dinosaurs, you know, where you hit them with the first 50 bullets and it doesn't stop the dinosaur, because it takes a while for it to know it got shot, kind of a thing. And so, you know, I have won. It's just that they don't know it yet. You know, you don't know it yet, kind of thing. And unfortunately, that's a part of what's motivating me, is just this idea that I'm just measuring my performance and judging it based on this game I'm playing, which is convert the morons, you know. And it's more of a conversion than a teaching, right? It's not really that you're trying to educate somebody. You're just trying to unhinge them so they're free again, you know, to be able to choose wisely instead of choosing badly. So I'm giving you a, you know, I guess that would be the sign of intelligence, is something that can, you know, unhook from anything it thinks is solid as a truth in a way, and allow the force, you know, the power of the arguments to bind you to some place, or to feel the gravity of it, the weight of the arguments, and to move freely to the fair, you know, assessment of the truth, the better judgment, the better sentence. You're judging 10 sentences to describe a truth, and the subtlety is that the, you know, the four of them sound very similar, but little key words are different in the description, and they're really important key words. So that was sort of another thing I was noticing in terms of making physics arguments, is semantics are sort of important. I mean, a lot of things are stated in this particular way, and you're saying, well, it could be stated better than that. The truth could be more accurate. So you could say there's equal and opposite forces. But then I could put up the example of an object exploding or an object contracting. And I could argue that, well, it goes in both directions, but there was no equal and opposite reaction. There was just one action, the expansion, and it just happens it goes in both directions. So I could argue that, you know, saying there's an equal and opposite reaction to a single action, okay, and there really isn't any reaction, there's just a consequence. So all these words become suspect in terms of, you know, precise definitions and all of this stuff. So, I guess the other part to point out, so the Mystic made other videos around this video, okay, about Smug, and that's what we're really in it for. Our little Smug moments, and the ability to walk around and say, I, you know, bought a Lincoln Continental. You know, obviously that's not the new whatever to have, but, you know, I did something in the past, and we can live on our past achievements. Keep pointing out, you know, it's almost like the old man saying, well, I used to have to walk 17 miles to school, and, you know, I had to fight wolves and, you know, polar bears. You know, and we can feed off of that for a very long time. As some sense of, I'm tougher than you, or I'm better than you, or blah, 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 blah. And to feel like we're in the game and we're winning. Because that's what we have to feel to get the, you know, the juice. You could sort of see that in, I've used this example before, orangutans are kind of interesting, because it's what they're going to end up looking like depends on how they feel, you know, as a kid. So if they feel like a winner, then they'll become a completely different kind of looking animal. They'll be bigger and full of, you know, stuff, you know, king material or something. Well, that's almost a joke to say, right? See, that's where words get so broken, you know, because the image is not what it should be. The reality doesn't match the words anymore. But the idea would be is that, you know, because the confidence ends up creating the alpha versus the beta program to click on, and you know, the organism becomes what it is, what it's sensing, and that's a test for whether or not it's going to be, you know, worthy of having its genetic code passed on. So it gets these extra power features to make sure that it breeds more, and therefore there's more of those versions that feel confident and accomplished. So not only is it for us a psychological fuel, you know, something, yeah, I'm trying to connect it to something addictive, because that's really the only reason why we need it, is because we're addicted to it. But regardless, it is a fuel. And, you know, and in other organisms, the reality of it isn't just that it's going to make you feel better, it's that it really is going to make your life better, because it's going to give you the extra set of tools to be a winner. Not only to think you're a winner, but to actually accomplish the task even if you hadn't before. And I guess the risk of a delusionary beta who thinks he's an alpha is so small that it doesn't screw up the evolutionary game being played. But it's, you know, just a fact that this happens in different organisms, where how they feel about themselves changes their hormones, and that changes what they physically become. So what does that have to do with anything? Anyway, I mean, it all has to do with the conversation and the fact that, you know, I guess the first step you have to get somebody to is this willingness to accept that your brain is functioning in a way that doesn't have much to do with, you know, what you sense as an outcome, like this is who I am and what I'm doing. And if you really analyze it, you know, if you take some time to pick at it and what it's doing, you realize that, yes, it's sort of like the AI thing came up, you know, because that's the big vogue subject. And it's, you know, and so you're seeing what a mechanical system can produce. And the fact is, it can do a lot of things better than us. And it does some things, you know, not so good, because it doesn't, it can't apply the same filters we can. But it can apply other filters, you know, where we can't. Like, I can't just click a button in my head, or, you know, or have a thought and say, you know, change the light exposure, or, you know, superimpose yesterday's image on today's image. And, you know, I can't just manipulate images or thoughts that freely. My brain has to actually do it. I mean, I'm just saying I don't do it. My brain does it, but the brain doesn't have those tricks where an AI can do that without even trying. I mean, it can run programs, creative programs, where it mixes ideas in all kinds of ways that we can't. And so it has a lot of advantages. And then clearly it can have very good running programs, so to speak, mechanical, you know, word processing that we can't come anywhere close to. You know, like counting all the instances of, like, how many times is in a sentence, and how many times the is in a, you know, it can have all of that pre-knowledge. But anyway, that's, that's not the point. So the point is to, you know, to realize that the game is the truth. So we could argue that, yes, for your personal life, the game can be anything, okay? And you can have this sense that I'm only winning if I have a, a beautiful, loving wife, or I'm only winning if I have these certain things that I, you know, conceive of as very important, or I'm failing. I'm just trying to think of the different things people live for, you know, house cleaning. You know, I don't want to mock it, but yeah, to a point, it's like, oh, come on, that's what means something. People waxing their car. I mean, I might even fall into that. You know, if I owned a nice car, I'd probably be out there waxing the car, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, perfecting it, because it's some sort of extension, you know, of the person. And it's part of what you're feeding on, the fact that you've somehow earned it. And it's a trophy or something. Yeah, it's like polishing trophies. So, I'm just trying to think, you know, trophies are kind of weird. So, they're not as impressive as the accomplishment, you could argue, right? The trophy doesn't really say, you know, the stupid loving cup thing or whatever, the green jacket even. It's not a very, the plate for Wimbledon or something, you know. It doesn't really say winner all over it. If somebody had a bunch of them on the wall, it wouldn't look like winner. It would just look like, ooh, plates. Yeah, very nice, but, you know, they got a bunch of writing on them. They're just kind of useless. All right, so... So I think it's just really important to understand that... Your brain. See, the mystic breaks everything, because he doesn't say there is anything, and he doesn't say that we can understand, and he doesn't think any of these concepts are real. And I agree that the words are mushily used, but to say there's nothing, you know, underneath them, that wet isn't different than dry, would be kind of, you know, insane. That the concept is perfectly valid, it's just that you have to be really careful about how you use the language, because you can say something that just isn't, it's close, but it's just, it hurts the truth in some way, and sometimes the hurt is a real violence in a way, it's because it destroys the actual concept, so... This also comes up in the physics arguments. I could say something like it's only a push universe, and all pulls are just some sort of perspective on a push. You know, you're not seeing the push, but the push is the actual, it's actually there. And so it would do real damage to your understanding if you're not getting one of those, you know, if you're not making those basic assignments right. So I could say that life works the same way. I can tell you that it's a pessimistic system in the sense that all you're doing is running from the whip of pain and degrade and disappointment and depression and, you know, all these negative things. And that's all you're doing. There's no positive force. There's just the negative force of failure, losing. And that's all there is. There's no winning. There's just not losing. You could almost argue that Las Vegas is something like that even. Sometimes you feel like a winner when you don't have to win anything except not losing. So now where am I going? What was the point of that? I forgot. It's a struggling kind of video just because, people have such bizarre notions that, you know, that's the problem, right? I mean, I'd like to just take the mystics' analogy or a metaphor or, I mean, his statement that we're playing a trivial game, and even when we're playing something high-minded like chess or save the starving people or some other game, even if the game has merit, what's going on in your brain is still just... A wind seeker. I mean, he's still just a trophy chaser. The brain is still, feeding. The reward is to the monkey. So again, I'll use an old analogy, that, you know, your brain is just the evolutionary levels, and the level that we're still evolved into, the one that has a lot of psychiatric power, is the monkey part. The, you know, we haven't really evolved out of being that. We're not physically evolved to be intelligent in a sense. Our intelligence was a growth in the sense that we acquired language and vocabulary, but we're in no way psychologically ready for intelligence. We're just using intelligence as a scheming tool. We're not using intelligence as a guiding tool, you could argue. Or as in a, you know, it's the difference between always being stuck in the maze and analyzing the maze from inside the maze and being able to climb out of the maze and see the maze. And so we have to live our personal life in the maze, you know, our day-to-day life. And then you can do this philosophical stuff where you climb out and you can see all this stuff and point out all the features of the game you're playing. But it's not very applicable to the game you have to play to get your daily bread, so to speak. So it's not going to help you any in with that dilemma of balancing. So the philosophy isn't going to really, you know, in some respects it can give you peace of mind and it can make you feel good because you can understand that that's all the game is and all that kind of stuff, and you can feel good about it even knowing that. So in some ways, knowing stuff, knowing you got out of the maze and you're not one of the regular suckers, I guess can be a trophy that you can use to feel good about who you are and what you are because you're not one of them. So we do a lot of that. I mean, you got to say that that's probably a big part of people's lives. It's just comparing themselves to some other person's status and saying, look how good I'm doing compared to them. But then their brain flips in an entirely different way when they do something like decide to have kids and not realize their kids are going to be losers. You know, they think they're going to just win. It's like something they're just automatically going to do. They're going to be on the winning side, not the losing side. All right. Yeah, so maybe I'll take a break there and figure out where I want to go. You know, it's just the destination is always the same destination in the sense that it's just about figuring out how all of this brain activity is all evolutionary functions in a sense, and that we're really applying really a tiny fraction of our intelligence to analyze our own, the game, the fact that we're stuck in a game. And that, you know, I could make simple arguments that it's really kind of just rude and obnoxious to force something to be born into the maze, okay? And especially when you can't guarantee that, well, if you go to the trouble of being smart and educated and you get yourself so you can be a maze viewer, you know, you can climb the mountain, so to speak, not necessarily going to make you happy, and it's not necessarily going to give you the power, you know, to change anything. It's not going to make you a Jedi. You know, you're not going to be able to, you know, go out and fight the war in some particularly better way. It doesn't make you a better fighter. It doesn't make you a better fixer. It doesn't make you a better... doesn't give you the skills necessary to affect the change that you're obviously going to see is necessary. And you'll see the obvious stupidity of what the hell for in anyway. Why create this... whatever it is, you know, this game-playing bot. And that's all we are, is bots playing a game. And it's a really stupid game in the sense that all it is a stupid, frankly, by social convention, defining who's a hero and who isn't, who's a winner and who's a loser. Now, some of that's obviously going to be decided by things that are obvious. I mean, if you're homeless and, you know, fettered in all kinds of ways and in physical pain, it's hard to call that person a winner in any way. And, you know, likewise, if you're at the other extreme, extremely comfortable and, you know, privileged and unencumbered by tasks, yeah, maybe hard to call that losing. when you could just watch your wall TV every day and look at pretty pictures, you know, or porn or whatever. So, all right, so I'll break here, have a drink, and think. Yeah. All right, I'm back. So I was thinking, and so I saw a little bit of a Thou Art That, or whatever he calls it. I can't remember what he calls himself now. Anyway, another one of these presentations he's going to make where he tries to sap people, with this mushy pseudo-religion. All the features of religion except the fact that it's an intelligent God or something, but somehow it's a nice God. Nature's nice, and it's beautiful and pretty. And therefore, this pan crapola shit, theism. Gaia, they really do kind of just worship child molestation and murder, which is, kind of funny. They can't see what's actually the totem pole looks like, and it's little kids getting butt fucked. And they're sitting there praying to it, thinking, because they got it upside down or something, and they think it's pretty bird flying. Silly. Intelligence isn't doing people like that any good. I mean, it's certainly not giving them any. So it's giving him maze power. That is, the intelligence is just a tool to play the little personal game, and get yourself a degree and, feel uppity. About you're a philosopher, you call yourself that, you can put down, it's a title, somehow you provoked people to think you have the magic. I have this book of secrets, so you must tune in to hear my secrets. Some kind of crap like that. Somehow people are paying for that, so I guess there's a way to make a living doing it. And, to me it's all non-starter because it doesn't have anything to do with the truth. So, as soon as somebody's having a conversation about an intelligent conversation about a whole edifice of spirituality and purpose and life being, blah, blah, blah. Evolution already destroys any hope of that as being a plausible theory. There's no plausibility to the singularity, intelligence, the hologram around some black hole, decided to poof the universe into existence, and because it knew it was going to make the little squirmy bugs that would be all full of themselves and think, we're thinking about being alive. Oh, it's so profound. Yeah, come on. It's ridiculous. There's no dinner conversation at the God table. What do you think? If there were gods, what do you think they would talk about at the dinner table? How many kids did you molest and kill today? What's the story? How many horrible deaths did you impose? So ridiculous. I shouldn't even have to even have that conversation. So if you're living for some sort of future, some sort of like mankind's going to do something. It's going to go to some fancy dinner table and have some fancy conversation, or you're going to spiritually turn into the wind or something, the galactic wind. Whatever. Or you're doing one of those traditional silly ruby encrusted floating cloud heaveny things. You're a fucking idiot. You've just wasted a bunch of neurons not getting the right answer. I don't know what to tell you. Go seek psychiatric help or something. There's something really wrong with your brain that it can't figure out. That can't work. Especially if you're literate and intelligent. If you actually understand some portion of the words I've said in these videos, then you're way too intelligent to fall for that crap. And so the real story is, we're still fish, pretty much. And what are we doing? We're just seeking our food and our sex, and you know, we're just doing it in a really bizarre and perverse way. You know, our accomplishment. I own it. It's mine. This territory. And we have like hologramic territories layered on top of each other. You know, they can all fit in the same place because we're all looking at it for gleaning some different thing out of it. So it's like we're all feeding on the same piece of food, you know, an event in the world. And we're all going to take that event and make it into something. I mean, I can, you know, I can make myself feel bigger than all of the Great Britons by just looking at an icon for the crowning of their king. You know, and I can just feel so good about myself. And, you know, the fact that I'm not one of those silly people. You know, so I can get for almost for free sometimes, you know, because the others will, they'll back into defeat and failure. I mean, they'll migrate into failure so quickly that I don't even have to do anything to be a winner, you know, because they'll fail so perfectly that, you know, I can't help but feel, you know, good about my circumstance, or good about my character, or good about my intellect, or good about anything, because I can just say, look how fucking dumb they are. But that's the maze game. You know, that's me being in the maze. That's not me saying, well, yeah, but the intellectual priority here is to try to find a way to, you know, pull these people out of that quicksand, you know, out of the, you got to try to make ropes so the other people can climb up and take a look and see the maze and see the game and just see all the dead children, you know, and get the idea that, oh yeah, this isn't something to applaud. Ooh, sorry, my bad. You know, figure out that no, all this putridly trivial, silly baby talk about baby making, you know, the person creating, you know, like this is some kind of thing that these bumpkins should have any business thinking they have any business being in that business. That it's sort of a serious thing, you know, creating a living thing and providing for its successful navigation without it being one of those molested children that are killed. You know, or, you know, all the other negative outcomes that come out of being alive and all the human tragedies. They don't end up homeless and drug addicted, and they don't make bad investments in the stock market and lose their house, and, you know, all the other, they don't get just incidental cancer, you know, all the shit you didn't provide for, that you didn't account for, that you have no plan for. I mean, it's just such an obviously stupid failure of an appropriate optimism trigger. So because they're playing the little game successfully, their little head game, you know, they think they're winning the big game. And no, the two things don't have anything to do with each other. They're just in their own little delusion. You know, sort of like, I mean, it's really retarded even, you could say. I mean, it's like they're playing football on a soccer field or something like that. And they think they're, you know, scoring a touchdown, and no, the referee flew, you know, dropped a flag way back there. Everything you're doing is illegal. It's, you know, it wouldn't be appropriately considered winning, okay, by any reasonable definition, accurate definition. And so, yeah, but that's the argument, what's accurate and what's inaccurate. And so that's what I focus on, sort of, is trying to figure out how to manipulate these words in such a way as you understand how weak the way the words are being used by people are. And, you know, what the nature of it is. But like I said, it gets complicated because you have people that are really smart, like the modern mystic. Well, you know, yeah. He spent a lot of time acquiring knowledge. And now he's using it to almost, he was mocking the Bill Clinton saying, it depends on what your definition of is, you know, kind of line. And, you know, in a way, he's doing exactly that. He's just sitting there fucking words all over the place. And you know, by saying that somehow, you know, a solid thing isn't solid because it has some empty space in between the atomic nuclear bits. but no, we can still say it's solid, okay, and that the electrons don't allow easy access to the interior. You know, however you want to. So we still understand it as a concept, and we know it's very different than the not solid, you know, a glass of water. So, I mean, why bother playing a game and saying the words don't have any integrity when, no, a lot of them do, in terms of just pointing out right and wrong, or, you know, solid and not solid, wet and dry, that kind of stuff. They work perfectly well. And it just seems kind of insane, frankly. Yeah, I have to declare I'm in a way insane, but you can't be that smart and then be stupid enough to say you can't figure out that there's a difference between a nail in your eye and a cupcake. You know, and that the human race is playing for that, and we're all socially deciding those questions. We're going to decide how many kids are going to get molested and murdered. I mean, we're deciding how many nails are going to go in eyes and how many cupcakes are going to be served. All of this crap is ours to control. That's how democracies work. And, you know, he's just some moron sitting there on the sideline saying, you can win World War II, but you don't have to go to the war. What do you mean? Nobody has to go to the war and we're going to win? I mean, it's that stupid an argument, in a way, where he's, you know, undercutting his own argument decisively, just kills it by saying something so stupid that you're like, well, why am I listening to you again? Yeah. But there is a reason, because he does. He has read everything, and he has, you know, thought about some element of every subject, and he has, again, spent a lot of his life wallowing in the, you know, listening to the right radio, so to speak, watching the right TV, not just entertaining his brain, but feeding it with conceptual interpretations. Maybe that's, I don't know. So I'm a lot less educated, I'd have to concede. I'm not as well read, all of those things, but I guess part of me would say I've done it better. Okay, I haven't wasted my time with the crap. Okay, the stuff that you're really not going to gain anything from. I've been able to label that, you know, and say, you know, that's just entertainment, you know, and I've known the difference, I suppose. So I know when, and I know, I guess I could say maybe I was better at figuring out what parts, what part of the subject is the real subject. It's like knowing the difference between biology, chemistry, and then physics, and recognizing that physics is the foundation. And if you get that, all the other stuff is 90% simpler. I mean, if you have the physics knowledge, the amount of extra knowledge you need to do the biology right is going to be very small, and the same way for chemistry. So if you can get the physics right, that's the power. So I guess that would be an argument I could make. But there's no denying that he should be an expert. But he's talking shit. So what's, you know, he's squandered his expertise. Profoundly squandered it. Insanely squandered it. Where somehow he got so, you know, up one idea's ass, and I don't even know what the one idea is, Buddhism or something, I don't know, some dopey, you know, some stupid, trivial little gladiator story that's stuck in his head, and somehow he keeps forcing reality to accommodate that silly story, and by forcing that extension of reality to support the gingerbread land, it's really broken the rest of his knowledge. He had to use vital pieces, you know, to flip them upside down to make a foundation for the crap. And he broke what knowledge should have brought him to, which he shouldn't sit there and talk shit, you know, about how you might as well be a moron. Why would you say that to a human being that can vote? That's just goddamn evil almost. So, yeah, so there's not much you can do with what he says except find little pieces of value in the fact that he would now and then say something that is untainted by his underlying nihilism. And, yeah, and I don't, like I said, I don't even know what to call it, but you're saying, how can you be a nihilist? And I mean, once you've climbed the maze and seen it, how can you pretend that doesn't make it even more motivating? All right, but that's the other side. So there's the downside of the fact that being informed and having seen the maze and kind of knowing what the catch is kind of ruins the game. So it's like tic-tac-toe. You can't play it once the older kids let you in on the secret. you can't play it anymore, because then all it is some cruel thing you impose on somebody. There's no game, because you know there is no game. There's just an easy way to cheat. Whoever goes first wins, if they have the knowledge. All right. And so it just becomes a gimmick. A fake, a fraud, a phony, that this is some test of anything. And so it's not a game. It's not a contest anymore. So it's of no interest to the brain to play, unless you are kind of a sadistic bastard and feel like picking on younger kids. Okay. So I have to say, I guess I can feel good about myself that once I learned that it was a trick, I didn't sit there and go trick other little kids. So I didn't do what my sisters did. Anyway, tricking me. So let's see. All right, well, maybe it's time for another break, and then I'll see if I have some way to sum this into something. It's hard to define, because you're just basically saying, yes, you just have to understand that you're just psychology. And your intelligence, the only way you can save it is you have to keep it from being used as a scheming tool, as a game-playing tool, as a hammer while you're in the maze. That's not what the intelligence is supposed to be doing. The intelligence is supposed to be telling you how to use the hammer. It's not supposed to be the hammer. Alright, back. So I was thinking of the game is really kind of some sort of crude game, rape and pillage. You can play it, as your role, by just understanding, okay, that's not really what I'm doing, okay? I'm just trying to survive, or, cause as little, break as few things as possible, and maybe fix something along the way if I can. That's all I'm doing. I'm just a janitor or maintenance person, and I'm just trying to do my little cleaning up thing and blah blah blah, and wipe my feet before I walk in the house and all this kind of little bullshit. I'm trying to learn the proper manners to just live the stupid game thing and get from point A to point death without being bad. That's the first priority, is not being bad, how much I can do in the good sense, we'll see. It's a lot of work to figure out a good in this circumstance, because anything you feed is dangerous. It's like you save an animal so next day it gets run over, kind of thing. It's so hard to figure out what the right thing to do is, because it's so broken and it's so catastrophically injured. It's like doing triage on a victim who's got a belly wound, a head wound, a foot wound, there's wounds all over the place. It's hard to know which one you should do first, because if you don't do them in the right order, it's all a waste of time. And then it's a jackass anyway, and you should have saved him in the first place. So, there's so many catches to being able to apply your maze knowledge to your day-to-day gameplay. And so there's two parts to this, right? That's one of the goals, is to try to take your enlightenment, your better view, and apply it to living the game in terms of your actions and what the world will become because you're in it and your brain is trying, to Virus, the other program, and correct its flaws. And then there's just the part of you got to squeak through your existence and feel not horrible. So you can't, you can't see the truth all the time, because if you do, it's just so bleak, because every step you take is covered in this bleakness, and you can't just enjoy the little birds tweeting. And you start thinking about, well, it's going to be dead 3 days. It's going to, some terrible thing's going to happen to it. I mean, all of these negative thoughts come into mind, and they will corrode and erode any capacity to relax and enjoy and, kind of wallow any of those superficial gratifications of I'm doing okay and, I'm a winner and all of that crap you need to get that chemistry thing going that makes you a good player. It's like playing the game the hard way, I guess, is the argument. It's like the difference between, you get into a boxing match and the guy has killed everybody else who he's boxed, or you don't know that, right? You have no idea who it is and doesn't have any history, so there's no, fear isn't going to cripple you and all these other things, and so you're actually going to do much better because you're not going to be crippled by some notion of, the wrong way to play, because you think you're in a impossible circumstance or something. So sometimes what you think really is half of the story or three quarters of how you're going to interact with something, and all of that has to be mitigated against. So I'd argue that, I do lots of that in my life, in the sense I play a little game, person to person, okay? I don't preach, I don't do a lot of things. I just try to throw little bits, little kernels of it here and there. I'll throw out in some casual way where I'll show, you try to be generous, you try to be, assisting in every way possible just to keep things from getting messy, because people really don't want to hear that they're assholes and that they're evil and all of that crap. So you don't do that on a person-to-person level, but I'll do it in a video, because the purpose of the video is to define the truth. It isn't to sit there and make people feel good. It's to infect, the other brains, with whatever, with pieces of the truth that will give them a little pause in their gameplay, perhaps. And maybe somewhere in that play they'll recognize that they really haven't done, they took a little peek at the maze, but they didn't really look at it. They didn't really pick the world apart and say what exactly is a brain and why does it exist and what is its basic function, and it's just a mechanism for getting a DNA molecule into the future. It's just another tool for stabbing things, taking their stuff, stealing and stealing more than just something's, stealing position and power and authority. It's like just in a democracy and you're just trying to kill the other voters. it's just so crude and cruel and stupid, the game being played by nature. And that's what we're a product of. And the fact is that we can know that's what we're a product of, and we don't have to be obedient to it. Just as I've used Tyrannosaurus is an example. If Tyrannosaurus got intelligent first instead of humans, it was, let's just say, a Tyrannosaurus. It could sit there and look at its own construction and be appalled, that such a monster would be invented. And it would be perfectly reasonable for it to become civilized and say, well, because nature made me something, that's not, I'm not obligated to be obedient. And it could drink with a straw, and it could do lots of things to not have to role play. And so I'm sort of arguing in these videos that you don't have to be a bug. Because nature made you a bug doesn't mean you have to be a bug. I mean, there's nothing about that agenda that has to control you, you know, beyond you doing the necessary things of eating and finding some sort of home to live in, you know, some sort of environment that in which you can function day to day and satisfy the biological needs without having to be obedient to any programmed functionality, any of those reflexes. Now, in some cases, I guess a better analogy would be an organism that is innately triggered. So you can see that in cats are always an interesting subject, right? So there's certain shapes, you know, like a, I guess it's a snake shape, or it doesn't really have to be a snake, though. It could just be a cucumber, you know, and cats react. I mean, it's just like there's an instinct built in that this certain kind of shape is a trigger. And it's a gigantic trigger, and it's almost like all cats, it's almost like a universal thing. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's, you know, a large percentage of cats have this reflexive instinct. It's nothing to do with environment or trigger, you know, conditioning or, you know, previous experiences with cucumbers or any of that shit. It's just this innate little trigger that's built into the brain, and they react. And so those are difficult. Those are the pain in the ass ones to get rid of, are these, you know, instinctive, you could argue. And so the great advantage humans have is that they have so few of those instincts. And, you know, that's why they have this long maturation and they're really feeble and they don't function very well from birth. You know, they don't start running around in a day or two. Like all the other mammals, they are really slow to become functional. And so the advantage is that that sort of indicates also that they're not pre-programmed with much and that everything's going to be learned and it's going to be conditioned. And so that's part of understanding all of that is an aid. And you could argue that a society, that any society in some ways ends up, I was going to say something like, there are at least the chance of it, right? There's these symbols within culture that do say success is landing on the moon. Success is get smart, manipulate the, you know, control the world, do things, you know, that kind of thing. But there is this whole other half that says, no, learn how to kick a ball. You know, be a good con artist. You know, be, so there's lots of, it's, you know, get born to the right parents and inherit the money. I mean, you know, there's these mixed signals where it isn't said loud enough that your real obligation is to master. It's like you could argue that, so I was going to bring up Star Wars again because, you know, there's some good kernels of all these religions in there. Now, the bad part is the idea of some force that's, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever, the whole spirituality crap. But the idea of not acquiring magic powers, but if they just use the idea that the power is understanding how your mind works and not being reactive, you know, not letting the crude impulses of your conditioning to control your reactions and to take every circumstance and be empowered by it. So if you had a previous failure, what psychology tends to do is make you evade failing again. I mean, that's sort of an evolution thing. If you're not good at something, like you try to swim across the channel and you almost drowned, your brain might condition you not to do that again. You know, there's going to be a real apprehension about getting on the horse again once it's bucked you. And your brain sort of works that way because, yeah, there's a higher probability that you'll succeed if you do the things you're good at and you evade the things you're not too good at. You know, there's not going to be a high rate of success if you're some belligerent moron who says, I'm going to force myself to be a good swimmer or something, because the likelihood is you're going to die before you, you know, the odds are you're not going to defeat the odds. All right, so So to the point again, right? So there's just this difference between, okay, living your life, and I'm not telling you you have to live your life by any rules, in the sense that I don't care what you say is important, what's pretty, what's valuable, what's, you know, enriching, what's, you know, what kind of music you like, who cares? Let's not argue about which kind of music has integrity, you know, or what kind of entertainment has value. You know, what movie's better than what movie? Those are sort of, there might be a truth, might be a factual truth, but there doesn't really matter, because that's all just the crap we use to get through our life. It's not the crap that matters. The crap that matters is the crap about the arguments about the nature of our reality and our circumstance. And the fact is that we are just bugs. Okay, we could, you know, we could say we're animals. You know, that has a consequence in terms of making our intelligence ineffective because, again, the ape inside of us wants to convert it into a tool. It wants to use it to get back at the ex-wife, or it wants to use it to get, you know, it wants to use it for all these emotional problems instead of, you know, to beat the things in the maze that it's living with, rather than use it to understand where the game has to go and how the game can be bent and how you can engineer the better reality. Now, as I've stated in previous videos, part of that knowledge is understanding that it's easier sometimes to steal a dollar than it is to earn a dollar. So it's easier to sometimes fool people into doing the right thing than it is to have them do the right thing for the right reasons. And that's where I'm sort of stuck in a dilemma of how much bullshit should I add to what I'm saying to make it more consumable. You know, that's the part that's really difficult, because now it's me in the way again. It's the ape who doesn't want to be dishonest, doesn't want to be a crook, doesn't want to cheat. And so he wants a real victory. He wants a real chance to beat him up. He doesn't want to use a cheat. He doesn't want to, you know, pull the lever on the trap door. So, you know, he doesn't want some cheap answer. He wants the ego boost of a good, clean, I defeated you kind of thing. And so it's, you know, now I get, you know, so it's just, it is, it's an unsolved dilemma for me. Because let's say I could cheat my way to the end. That's, yeah, if it gets the job done, and it's less probable that you're going to get it done the right way, then yeah, you do it the wrong way, because it's necessary that you get to point B. Yeah, and so I don't know what to do with that part yet. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. And I haven't figured out, I suppose, to some extent, in prioritizing and doing enough networking and all of this other kind of little stuff that I could do to attempt to create a better strategic offensive against idiocracy. Because I suppose that's the generic term. I mean, that's what the problem is that way too many people are way too stupid. They spent way too little time listening to videos like this one, or spent way too little time in introspection and contemplating their internal function in terms of what their psychology is playing with, and whether that has anything to do with making the world a safer place for molestable and killable children, so to speak, to a better place for people to live and die in, you know, more graceful. That's, you know, doesn't sound like a real hip or cool thing. I'm making the world more graceful. You know, doesn't sound like that's the, you know, that's not like landing on the moon, you know. But it's, the fact is that's the biggest thing you can do is add that intelligence to the rolling of the inevitable outcome. The inevitable outcome needs you to think graceful is important. To get to the right inevitable outcome, the ingredients are going to be that people are thinking about making the future better, fixing something in it, you know, extracting horrible death and extracting different negative things that are in the future. And they have to be thinking that way now for that future to happen. It's just a fact. It has to happen in the past before it can happen in the future. And we're making the past and right now. And if people aren't mindful of the big game, then the big game is going to go badly. They have to understand where the game's going and how it gets there. And it gets there through all this psychological crapola that is clearly understandable intellectually. We can know with our smart brain, okay, how gamed we are in our small brain. I suppose that's probably a good enough ending statement. It won't be the end, but you know what I mean. Close enough. I mean, it sums it up well enough, I suppose. Yeah. So that's the purpose of the video, is to change the world. And frankly, you change the world because you got to change the way people use their brain. And the only way they can use their brain differently is their brain has to know that there's a right way to use it and a wrong way to use it. And if they don't really understand that, you know, that their psychology can't be running the show, that the smart part has to make those strategy decisions, or else you're going to make impulsive and stupid decisions. And they're not going to be in the future's interest because you're not even thinking about it. You're so far from getting the game right. You don't know that the win isn't what happens to you. The win is what happens to a whole bunch of yous, a whole bunch of feeling creatures. And their destiny is riding on you. Just a fact. All right, so I think that probably says enough. Yeah. It's all related. It is funny, like, okay, so I was doing some physics videos and watching this Julia Sumner Miller guy. And, you know, he starts the video with some little piece of philosophy, you know, and he's talking to kids. And it's about thinking, you know, and it just this whole idea that you have to really, you know, if you're gonna learn anything, or, you know, there's certain little pieces of stuff, little jewels of knowledge, and the one that where you value knowledge, that's a hugely important jewel you have to have, is this idea that, wow, you know, information is power, and it's not just power for me, you know, it's power for everybody. Everybody wins the smarter we are. Now, there's not a whole lot of evidence of that lately because all the smart people are full of shit. But, you know, it's a general trend. It's the kind of stuff that lands you on the moon. Not that that's an accomplishment, but I just mean that's an example of a set the target and get there. And if our target is a better future, we have to actually do the engineering. You know, we have to build the ship, and we have to build the lunar module, and we have to recognize, well, it's dusty, we got to have these landing pads, and then blah, 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 blah. You know, you have to do the engineering to create the better future. It doesn't just happen. You have to engineer it. You have to take it as a serious subject, and you have to invest time in it, and you have to invest a piece of yourself in it. Your ego has to understand that that's the game you're playing, and right now you're failing, And so you have to do a hell of a lot better because you're not going to be in the victory circle. You're going to be on the also ran or, you know, shithead who got in the way circle. All right. Now I think that's enough. Okay. Oh. Yeah, that's enough. So till the next time and such, this has been DoNotGod.com video presentation.